AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor James Shapiro. Jim Shapiro, Columbia University, the author of a new book, The Playbook, a story of theater, democracy, and the making of a culture war. The scene that we opened with, opening night, premiere night in Harlem at the Lafayette Theater. 11 weeks before, Orson Welles, a very young man with that voice, he's doing radio work during the day, spending his money on taxis, food. I think he spends his money on the head of Macbeth. Yes, he does. The grisly head of the Macbeth. But he's got a megaphone at night, and he's yelling at the cast all the time, do this, do that, because his wife has had a genius idea that they're making lighting for and building sets for. It's Macbeth, but it's Macbeth with an all-black cast, and therefore it's voodoo Macbeth. Assadatta Dafora is now an important player because he brings in the cast, the African-American cast, that will fill the stage. And there are photographs. I urge everybody to look at it because it's quite magical. Jim, Welles at the time, he saw that the history of Macbeth was that it had been wearing out its welcome because nobody believed in witches. And therefore, the substituting of voodoo for witches is magical. But still, you make a fine philosophical point, and I'm taken by it, Professor, even though it's not part of our chronology. Is Macbeth a victim of the witches, of the curse, or is he a victim of his own weakness? Can we tell? And is that a tension in Macbeth that was solved by voodoo Macbeth?
The first thing you have to realize is how novel it was to update Shakespeare in this way, to have what we now call modern dress performance, and to locate this in 19th century Haiti. That just wasn't done. There had been a production of Macbeth virtually every year from 1900 till 1935 on Broadway. And every one of them was traditional. The Scots wore kilts and plaids, and everybody looked like they were from medieval Scotland. This was different. This was suiting the action to the words to the action, and having this reflect the revolution in Haiti that so captivated American political theorists and the American people. So the idea of bringing in Assadatta Dafora's troupe, which were a really popular drumming and African chanting group, allowed for a different emphasis. And as you say, the $64,000 question, as they once said, about this play is, where does the evil come from? Does it come from Macbeth himself? Is it triggered by the witches? Is it instilled in him by his wife? Are there larger cultural forces that are producing this evil? And Welles, who had been to Nazi Germany, felt the currents at the time and the rise of fascism, felt that it would be useful to have the evil as this larger cultural force operating in the play. So he did a number of things like make the role of Hecate and the witches far more central to the story, and in a sense ended it with, this is likely to continue into the future, a future of dictators, a future of tyranny. So it was a very cutting edge production. The fact that a 20-year-old-ish white, young white guy is shouting directions through a megaphone at his cast of 150. At one point, I think he kept them for 72 hours in the theater, only allowing for naps. Equity today would have him arrested and probably kicked out of the theater business. But this was a different world. And Welles was not going to miss his shot. He knew this was a chance to make his name, Houseman as well. And when that opening night in Harlem came and Wells basked in the applause that went on and on and on. In later years, he told a reporter, Macbeth was the greatest thing he ever did. And it was such a hit that it moved from the Lafayette Theater to Broadway. And then Hallie Flanagan had the inspired idea of sending it on the road, sending it to St. Louis and Detroit and Indianapolis and all the way to Dallas, Texas, in a state where Blacks had no political representation and was breaking with Jim Crow habits and laws. So this was a political as well as a theatrical triumph.
The reviews are very important to understanding of the moment. Because the reviews, the laudatory reviews, and there were one or two that were ironically cautious. But the laudatory reviews, always there is condescension throughout. They're intending to recommend, intending to celebrate, including Martha Gellhorn, who will go on to be one of the great journalists in American history, sitting in the balcony, talks about looking at a checkerboard of blackheads and whiteheads below her. And Jim, the reviews at the time were all positive except for a few holding back. And those holding back were concerned about this being a farce or in some fashion a send-up. How so? Explain that.
American critics and American audiences, white audiences, were simply not used to seeing Black actors play Shakespeare, period. And this was novel to them. And we now live in a very different age where people will pay a pretty price to see Denzel Washington play Othello next year on Broadway, or even in the 1940s to see Paul Robeson. But this was the 1930s, and there simply was no tradition of Black performers in America playing Shakespeare. The only African-American Shakespeare star, Ira Aldridge, had spent his entire career in England and on the continent. He never got to play a leading Shakespeare role in America. So the reviewers struggled, some more successfully than others, to acknowledge what was brilliant about this production. But this is the 1930s in America. It's long before the civil rights movement. And even in the most liberal enclaves like New York City, you feel the subtle racism creeping in.
Langston Hughes, smart, very smart. But what about me? What's that referring to, Jim?
The Black community had a very ambivalent relationship with the Federal Theater. Many of the leading figures of the Harlem Renaissance did not participate either as writers or as theater folk in the Writers Project or the Federal Theater Project. And Langston Hughes, while speaking to different constituencies, at once praised the Federal Theater, but also felt that the Federal Theater wasn't telling his story. It was having Black performers tell white stories for largely white audiences. So what this play did was change the way people thought about race and interracial performance, but it also raised all the questions that we're still struggling with. Who should say what? Who gets to represent which point of view? What kind of plays should be done and who should be doing them?
And Langston Hughes faulted this for being unclear. Let's put it that way. Unclear.
Yeah.
Was this a Black experience or African Americans in roles that didn't suit their lives?
This was an explosion, and the smoke had not yet cleared. And both Black critics and white critics wrote about this play. And if you want to take the temperature of where American culture was on issues of race, just read the reviews of Macbeth in Harlem.
Jim Shapiro is the author of The Playbook, A Story of Theater, Democracy, and the Making of a Culture War. This is the works, the Harry Hopkins is genius right now. Everybody's moving around and there are lots of productions going on across America. But we're going to focus on one for which The author, Sinclair Lewis, was paid $200,000 by Hollywood. When we come back, the playbook is the new work by Jim Shapiro. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints. TC.